Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. And, okay, nothing going on there. I guess I need to oil my chair again. It's getting squeaky. Okay, you're listening to Across the Border. Before I left, I was having a little chuckle here over this silly commercials on the TV where they sell you boxes of nothing for your hard-earned money. And I was thinking about when you're watching this commercial with this silly woman in this white room with shelves full of boxes of nothing that she's selling, and then a little alarm will go off and she'll go, "Oh, look, Mr. What's-His-Name saved $250 by coming to our insurance store." Well, my question is, if he saved $250, how come there's now less money in his bank account? How does that work? It's like, black is white, good is bad. It's all newspeak. And that would be a good bit for them to do on Saturday Night Live. But you know what? Saturday Night Live won't touch it because I'm sure they probably have advertising dollars for insurance company in there someplace. I may have even seen those ads, from watching Saturday Night Live. But the whole thing is like the emperor has no clothes to me. But most people are out there, they see clothes. But if they were really honest with themselves, they would tell themselves that they would admit to themselves that, yes, the only reason that I get that insurance and pay that money is because if I don't, their policy enforcers will stop me and steal my vehicle and maybe put me in jail and fine me 10 times what the insurance would cost by the time they were done with me. And then they would up my insurance. Yes, the emperor has no clothes. That's the way I see it. Anyway, let's jump back into Hosea here. Sometimes I get off on these tangents, and perhaps, well, I hope it's the Holy Spirit moving me in whatever direction. Hosea, chapter 2, verse 1. "Say ye to your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her, therefore, put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." See, these are the people that care more about things than they do about the Creator. Whoever will bribe them with the most things, but they don't notice the chains that go on them for the things. Just like all of the chains, and that's how I got off on my tangent, is because people going after other gods find themselves in bondage and slavery. And that's what it is, though, all these rackets, where they strip you of all their rights and they charge you protection fees. That's how they rob you. That's how they enslave you. That's one way. But they give you the illusion that you're free at the same time. And they'll give you the things you need. You want football? You want to watch Men in Tights play with a ball on your spare time and get excited about that? Men? And you call yourself men. I call you women. I could think of a much better term to use, but I won't use it on the air. So you're not men, you're women, watching Men in Tights play a child's game and earn millions of dollars doing it just to distract you from what's really important. You're a bunch of idolaters. That's what you are, a church of Monday Night Football. And how about all the congregants down at the local drinking hole going down there drinking and watching Men in Tights, whatever other games that they might want to play? It's another form of idolatry. But if we don't if America doesn't turn away from its whoredoms, same thing is going to happen to America. It's happening to America. That's right. We're being stripped naked. Yeah. Look around you. They're trying to bail it out. They're throwing all of the empty paper notes at it they can, and it is not going to do any good. How do you bail out? You know, it's like they're trying to bail out a ship, and the bucket has no bottom. That's what their bailout plan is. They're giving them a bucket with no bottom. Here, get the water out as fast as you can. You know, it won't work. They have nothing to bail it out with. They can create all of the worthless money they want. It just waters down all of the rest of the worthless money. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them have done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn, wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return, and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. That's what's happening to America, as it happened to Israel. Certainly, we don't identify with flax and wool, but we do identify with industry and manufacturing, do we not? Yes, the manufacturing, the industry was linen and wool then. Now it's automobiles and production of products. All gone. Yes, for the most part. You know, I'd say 95% of it has fled. We've been stripped naked of those things. Chapter 2, verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Yes, all of these feasts that Yahuwah commanded to the children of Israel. The feast days, the new moon days, the Sabbaths, and the solemn feasts would all come to an end. And they did, for 70 years. And in Israel, for much longer than that. Of course, because Israel, the northern kingdom, was dispersed before Judah. And I will destroy her vines and her figs, where she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Well, I see it happening all around me. I live in the middle of the San Joaquin Valley. Well, I don't live in the middle of it. I live in the foothills near it anyway. The San Joaquin Valley of in Central California here. And, well, I see the groves are disappearing little by little, being pushed out and pulled down because they can't afford, can't get the price for the product anymore to even pay for the water. Because number one, the government has made an electric and the power to get the water out of the ground has become so expensive that nobody can afford to farm the land anymore. Because they've torn down all the tariffs. And they're bringing in all the foreign fruits and all of the big corporations that were built by the farmers in the valley here, such as Sunkist, took all the money of the farmers and they got rich on the produce of the farmers in the valley here. And they took the riches and their profits and they planted vineyards in South America and Central America. Now they're importing the same fruit, putting out of business the very farmers that created them. I call them traitors. Traitors to benefactors. I think our good friend, who wrote, Dante's Inferno, yes, has a, had a special place in hell for traitors to benefactors. So we see it's happening here. Same type of thing. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Yes, they're being destroyed one way or another. Where if she said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with earrings and with jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith Yahuwah. Decked herself with earrings and jewels, and went after her lovers and forgot me. Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahuwah, that thou shalt call me Ishi, Ish. And what does that mean? Because it means, I know Ish is a man. And shall call me no more Baali. Okay, well, I'm a symbolical name of Yahuwah, Jehovah, it says here. So I'm kind of, or my master. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yahuwah. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith Yahuwah the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, Yisrael. God will sow. Hosea 2, kind of getting lost in the words here myself, because they seem at moments to contradict each other. One verse we have judgment, and then the other verse we have what seems the opposite. And so I would say that the one verse being the judgment is the judgment to come upon Israel and Judah here, and then after that is the return to the land. And there's even a reference here to, I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Well, the only way he can betroth us unto him is faithfulness, is as a remnant, as individuals, really. Because one thing I've learned is that a nation cannot be saved, a church cannot be saved, an ethnic people, family cannot be saved, only individuals can come to the salvation of our Heavenly Father through His Son, and only that in faithfulness to Him and His Word and His law. And each one of us individually on a voluntary basis would come to Him with a desire to live a life of obedience to Him because we love Him. And that's the type of faithfulness that our Heavenly Father is looking for. He is always faithful. He has always been faithful to His Word. And we can rely on that no matter what happens. Even if we're caught up in a nation that's being punished as a remnant, we may suffer the consequences of the punishment of the nation around us. We may escape it. There are no promises made to us as individuals unless He makes one to you individually. However, that would be quite rare for Him to do that, at least from my experience and from my reading of the Scripture. Let's go on to chapter 3 of Hosea, verse 1, "Then said Yahuwah unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of Yahuwah toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." And when you see a nation that enjoys drunkenness, that enjoys drugs, or any type of escapism, what is the word they call it? I can't think of the word right now. But you get the idea, the love of flagons of wine. And it doesn't just necessarily refer to wine. It refers to anything that pulls at your heart, that keeps you occupied, your mind occupied, so that you're not aware of what's going on in reality around you, like most people in America. They're so occupied chasing money. They're so occupied with video games. They're so occupied with the latest football thing or who the American Idol is on TV. Or perhaps they're just mind-melded with Fox News broadcasts or the other Obama news, CNN news broadcast. And they're drunk with this stuff. It fills their mind. They don't have time for anything else. They can't see the truth. They don't have time for the Creator, because they're too drunk on all of these other things that occupy their minds, that rob them of the truth, that fill their minds with things other than the pursuit of the truth and the pursuit of eternal life through His only Son, the Messiah. So they look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So anything that draws you away from His truth, from His word, and His gift of life and eternal life, the only reason that you're alive now is so that you have the opportunity to enter into His kingdom, into His holy nation, and live forever through the gift that that the Messiah provided for us by laying down His life. You're not alive for any other reason. Because His gift to every single one of us is grace. The grace that allows us to live. Yes, when our great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother, Adam and Eve, sinned, well, the wage of their sin was death. But they didn't die immediately. They received a grace period. Yes, the punishment was mortality. They would die. And, the King James Version says, "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And I know that's true. I feel, well, they didn't die in that day. Let me ask you something. Will you surely die? Every single one of us will surely die. That was the judgment. The judgment was mortality. Our very own lives testify to the fact that the judgment that was put on them, that was judged upon them, that they received, was their mortality, because every one of us is born with that mortality, and that mortality is God's gift to us, because He could have just, bam, stamped them out right then, and none of us would have been born. Think about that. He could have just, oh, that's it, bam, you're done, it's over with. You will have no children, no children's children, and children's children's children, and no great-great-great-great-grandchildren leading to Noah, and then his four sons, and their children leading to us. None of us would have been, if not for the grace of our Creator, which allowed them time to live. And yes, Adam and Eve did repent. I can see the repentance. They were looking forward to the Messiah. They were very concerned about the seed. When Cain and Abel were born, Abel was the promised seed. He was the righteous seed. They were looking forward to. They lamented his death. And then when Seth was born, they proclaim, God has given us a man in place of Abel, who was slain by his brother Cain. You know, right there, that was the proclamation of their faith. They were looking for the seed of the Messiah, the seed of the woman, the promised seed and redemption. And that shows me that they had faith and they've repented. And we all have that same opportunity to repent. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I invite you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and watch a short video there that outlines, you know, the entire plan of our Creator from the beginning of time. Anyway, I invite you to watch that video and you can get more of a clue as to what I'm talking about. It's a very fast-paced, very well information-packed video. I did a two-hour study on the virgin birth, and you can go to my website there, and if you scroll down, you can listen to the entire program on that from which that video was condensed. So do take advantage of that there. Anyway, we're in Hosea chapter 3, and we're talking about how they have turned to other gods. And they've used the gift of God, yes, that our mortal existence, the grace period that we're given, to follow after and to worship idols rather than follow after the Creator of the universe and take advantage of the grace that He has given all of mankind, that gift of grace that He has given to all of us, so that we have an opportunity to enter into His kingdom through His Son, the Messiah, and live forever. Because this mortality is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. And when it ends, it will be the end for the remnant, for His holy nation, for each one of us that enter His kingdom. It will be the end of pain and suffering and tears when this grace period called our mortality ends. And then we will enter into His glory forever. That's His promise. I believe it. And anyone who doesn't follow hard after it has to be a fool. I'll be back in a few minutes.